Welcome to Limitless, a parallel universe where limits do not exist. Join us as we talk with amazing people from around the world who are breaking through barriers and defining their own paths to success. Learn how these individuals have overcome the gravitational pull of internally and externally imposed limits in order to achieve their dreams. Join us and be limitless. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Limitless. This is Mark Schreiner, and I am super excited to welcome you to today's episode because we're going to be talking with Will Linson, a good friend of mine and also one of the world's leading executive coaches. Will is also a leader in the Marshall Goldsmith Stakeholder Center Coaching Organization and has helped drive their international expansion. And Will's going to talk a little bit about how that organization has increased in size over 7 times in the last 7 years. An amazing growth story there. Will's also going to share his thoughts related to what executives and organizations should look for when engaging an executive coach. And finally, Will's going to share some really valuable advice for veteran and aspiring executive coaches on how to build a successful coaching practice. So hey, Will, how are you today?
Very fine. Thank you very much. And thanks for inviting me, Mark.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Where in the world are you?
Yes, I'm in Sydney this week working with clients around leadership development and coaching. It's a great time to be in Sydney, I can tell you.
What an amazingly beautiful city, right?
Yes, I'm very blessed to be in a very scenic spot at the same time.
You sure do travel a lot, because I think the last time I spoke to you, you were either in Brazil or in the UK, but it's tough to keep track with you.
Yeah, that's right. I travel about 220 days out of the year, and I cover everything outside the United States for our organization. So that's right. Yes.
Sometime we'll just have to have a conversation about how you keep your schedule straight with all the different time zones and countries and everything like that, because I'd be lost every day. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. Before we get started, Will, actually, could you just give a little bit about, you know, information about your background and how you progressed from being a corporate executive into an executive coach and then into leading such a large and successful coaching organization?
Yeah, so my name is Will Linse. I was actually born and raised originally in the Netherlands. And since my early 20s, I got a number of international roles in organizations. And basically, I've been leading, being the CEO or president of a number of country organizations in areas of chemicals, pharmaceuticals, and plastics. And, you know, as I was leading organizations and working with teams, you really realize, or at least my realization personally was, that what I really enjoyed a lot is to help leaders to be more effective in the teams they work with. I got a lot of satisfaction out of developing people, seeing them really jiving well with the people they work with, and everybody having a very good and productive time being engaged in the organization as they work and produce great results for the company. Because, you know, people who are engaged, they have fun and they basically go double the mileage on the same fuel. It's a very, very simple equation. So I really enjoyed that. And, you know, I realized in the early 2000s, just after I finished my my executive MBA that I did in Switzerland in IMD, I really realized, you know, wow, yeah, if you really enjoy that so much, then you shouldn't be in the plastics business or the chemical business. You have to be in the people business. So I basically made that switch in 2003, where I moved out of industry and started the leadership development and executive coaching company that we're currently having. And I connected with Marshall Goldsmith, being a very notable executive coach already at that time. And his process really kind of resonated to me. He's very much focused on results that people get in their leadership development. So it really resonated to me. And in 2012, when we started internationalizing the organization globally, Marshall and my two other business partners, Chris Coffey and Frank Wagner, together with Marshall Goldsmith, we agreed, hey, Will, you know how to develop businesses internationally. Why don't you do international for us? So that's how that opportunity came about.
Well, I want to come back to that But before, I want to touch on something. You were helping individuals in the organizations that you worked. You were helping them with your development, and you enjoyed that. And I personally, I can relate to that as well, because at the end of the day, if you see your team improving, one, it benefits the bottom line oftentimes, but actually, it's very rewarding in itself just to see people take it up to the next level. But when you decided to make this transition from, an executive who was helping people versus somebody who's a that's your full-time role, what were the main differences? I mean, did you have a process in place when you were an executive, or did you just kind of figure things out as you went?
Yeah, I think the last one, right? So you're gonna figure things out as you went, because a lot of executives who have a lot of experience and they try to kind of transfer that experience to the people they work with in terms of, let me tell you when I was in your position, the way I solved this kind of thing. So why don't you do that or make your own version of that? So it's very much this kind of Nestor type of approach where people kind of say, hey, I'm the older experienced guy. Let me tell you how you do this. So that's how that worked at that time. But of course, it's not a very replicable structured process in order to make measurable and scalable change.
No, and I've seen that a lot as well, where people think that, what works with me is going to definitely work with you, so I'm just going to repeat that. And it's not necessarily the case. My problem that I've done in the back past is just kind of shoot from the hip and kind of try to figure things out on the fly. And if you don't have a process, sometimes things can go sideways. So you became affiliated with Marshall Goldsmith and your other business partners. And you said that the thing that attracted you to Marshall Goldsmith is that he had this really great process, right? So tell us a little bit about the process, and then in terms of how you became engaged in the organization.
So the process in on a high level version is as follows. The coach works with the leader to select two areas for leadership growth that are really important to the leader that they want to put their heart in and that are also important to the organization. And let's say the leader selects execution and decision making. Now, we use a number of assessments to help the leader determine those two leadership growth areas. Then, at the same time, the leader also selects a number of people as stakeholders, which are the people they work with, the people in their team, their manager, and a number of peers. And then, on a monthly basis, they go to a very efficient process to ask these people for some suggestions. And this goes very simple. Say, hey, Mark, as we're working together, I'm working on better decision-making execution. And obviously, this affects you too as my team member. So what suggestions do you have for me for the next 30 days? So you have very short conversations. People give the suggestions to the leader. The leader thinks them over, makes an action plan, discusses that with a coach to make the action plan better, maybe do some learning around decision-making and execution, and then they implement the action plan and follow up at the end of the month. So that's a very efficient monthly process. And then on a quarterly basis, we measure with a short survey and asking those same people, say, hey, Will is working on getting better at decision-making and execution. How is he doing? Is he getting a lot worse, -3? Is he getting a lot better, +3, and a number of scores in between. And we also ask some process and verbatim questions, verbatim feedback questions on how that person has been getting better or trying to demonstrate that. So we do that every quarter. And at the end of the year, we do that same survey. And then if the results are positive, we get paid. And if the results are not positive, we don't get paid. That's how we work.
That's you said several things there that are big differentiators between some of the other coaching programs that I've seen. One is the last thing you mentioned is it's pay for performance, right? If you see demonstrable success, then you pay. But if you don't, well, then you don't pay, right? So that's one thing. But the other thing is you're involving stakeholders. You're creating an awareness amongst the stakeholders that, hey, I am trying to make a change. Because I can try really hard, but if you're not aware of my efforts, you might not see it, right? But I've asked you to help participate in my change, and then also asked for your feedback. And a lot of times, in terms of my success, was I successful or not? And I've seen coaching programs where the success, the quote unquote success, was determined by you know, a conversation with the coach and the coachee, like, you know, so, hey, do you feel like you've improved? And yeah, I think we made good progress. And that's not really, that's pretty subjective, right?
Yeah, so different people do that in different ways, and we're not here to judge how other people work. But we look at, well, you know, if you see how companies improve their services as they provide services to their external customers, right? Where it's then, you know, who judges whether the whether your product or services got better? It's the customer who decides that, not your quality department or production department or your standards of operation or standards of quality. So it's the customer who decides whether somebody delivered a better service. And, you know, if you're a leader, you're actually delivering a leadership service to the people you work with. And this is actually literally the case. If your leadership service is not a good service, people will vote with their feet, same as the customers who buy your service voting with their feet. People will vote with their feet, they get disengaged, and people move somewhere else. And nowadays, it is so much easier for people to move to another organization because of all the internet-based tools out there, whether it's LinkedIn or Glassdoor and all these beautiful things. So switching hurdles for employees are much lower, same as switching hurdles for customers are much lower. So, and if you as a leader deliver a great leadership service to the people in your organization, people stick around. It's very, very simple value proposition. So the people who decide that are the people who work with you, nobody else. So therefore, our philosophy is, you know, if the coach and the leader work together, who decides whether that was a successful engagement? You know, it's not the coach. The coach doesn't work there. It's not the leader, because the leader has their own opinion about themselves, which is important but not decisive. It's the people who work with that leader. It's very plain.
No, I really like that approach. I know that, you know, since you started the stakeholder-centered coaching organization, you started in Asia, I believe, and now you're responsible for Asia, Europe, and probably other places, because I recently spoke to you and you were in Brazil. The organization has grown very, very rapidly, and you have, I believe, thousands of coaches around the world right now. Is that correct?
Yes, actually. So since 2012, when we started internationalizing, we got 7 times bigger in 7 years. And we're now close to 3,500 coaches around the world, and we're the largest executive coaching network in the world by far. We're bigger than number 2, 3, 4, and 5 combined.
That is amazing, and it's been so, so quick. Tell me, you know, what's been driving that? One, from obviously there are a lot of executives or former executives like yourself who are interested in becoming executive coaches. Why is that? I mean, what's driving that?
Yeah, it's actually very simple. We have spent, I mean, Marshall Goldsmith has been doing this coaching for the last 40 years, right? So for 4 decades, we have been working in this space and with this formula. And we know exactly the sweet spot that clients are looking for. And that sweet spot is as follows, or that need is as follows. You know, if we talk to a client, they say, you know, we have a number of leaders that we need to get measurably better, because that's going to impact the bottom line, so a number on the P&L or on the balance sheet, so the profit and loss statement or the balance sheet, and a number on the engagement survey. It's going to impact our financial situation, and it's going to impact our engagement scores. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a measurable improvement of that leader. That's what they intrinsically say. Now, if clients then hire a coach, we tell them, okay, well, here is the process. It's a very transparent process. And we say, we measure results on a quarterly basis as by the people who work with the leader. And we say, you know, at the end of the day, if it's successful, you pay. And if it's not successful, you don't pay. Because people are looking for results. They're looking for a transparent process they understand. And they're looking for a trusted brand that is delivering that service. And as you know, Marshall is the number one leadership thinker in the world. Marshall is the number one executive coach in the world. I was recently voted the number 15 executive coach in the world by Global Gurus. So, and that's great. In our network of the top 50 thinkers in the world, half of them are Marshall Goldsmith coaches. Of the global gurus in the world, around coaching and leadership, and organizational culture, we have 25 of them, which are Marshall Goldsmith coaches. So we have a lot of great thinkers, great contributors of leadership and coaching in our network. And Marshall, being the number one brand in the world around coaching, really helps us in positioning and selling that service to clients.
Well, I think that's a huge testament both to the brand and to the process. I mean, if the process wasn't successful, the brand wouldn't be as strong, right? I mean, so you have both there.
Yeah, just to give you, people might be asking, thinking, you know, well, how successful is that? We have a 95% success rate. So we do payment for results, but more than 95% of the time, we get paid. And we have data based on 248,000 people we work with. So it's a system that works. It is highly successful. And it is also recognized by that number one brand, as you say.
Yes. So there, I mean, if you have 3,500 executive coaches in your organization, that shows that there are a large number of people out there that want to become executive coaches. Back to my question as to why do people move from an executive role into a coaching role? Is it simply because they, like you, decided that, hey, you know what, I prefer to just focus on helping people develop? Are there other reasons, maybe a certain kind of lifestyle? Or, I mean, what are the reasons that you see people move into this coaching role? And while I'm asking that, I also, maybe you want to tag onto that. I would assume that some of your certified coaches probably they're certified in-house at large organizations. But over to you.
Yeah, so the in-house people in large organizations is very simple. Yeah, so we have quite a number of larger organizations who say, hey, we want to have a couple of dozen or a couple of hundred people certified internally because that helps us to drive our leadership change and coaching internally. And that is, of course, much more resource efficient in a way than hiring external coaches. And the efficacy of internal coaches and external coaches is exactly the same. There are some pros and cons to the idea, but the efficacy is the same. And we have a number of cases with, amongst others, HP and GE, which have demonstrated it already for the last 20 years. So the external coaches, why do external coaches become a coach? Yeah. So actually, you'll be surprised to know that we have some coaches who are as young as 25, and we have coaches who are very senior people. Now, a lot of senior people, they become an executive coach because, you know, first of all, they have people have an innate desire to help other people succeed, to kind of teach other people and help them succeed. So that is one reason why people move into that space, because they really like it, helping people. And the other reason for senior people to do that is they say, well, you know, I think I worked enough in a lot of big companies, and I'm kind of want to semi-retire, but I still want to do something useful rather than wake up every morning and think, what should I do other than playing more golf or tennis or whatever they play? And that's why people say, hey, you know, executive coaching is a great space to be in. Yeah.
Okay, well, you definitely have seen both of those scenarios. Mm-hmm. What are the challenges if you are somebody who wants to become an executive coach, and you've been through this because you transitioned from an executive to an executive coach, and you deal with thousands of coaches around the world? What are the biggest challenges to becoming a successful executive coach?
Yeah, actually, that is very straightforward, because there are tens of thousands of coaches around the world, and there are tens of thousands of executive coaches around the world, and most of them are not amazingly successful or even successful. And that is really up to everybody else to decide for themselves whether they're doing what they want to be doing, because if you're coaching and you're happy with what you're doing and you're happy with the business you're running, then that's great. At the same time, all the coaches I meet, they say, hey, I want to do more, better, faster. What do I need to do? So these kind of coaches, if you want to be running a coaching business that is large and successful and that you have a really successful business in making money and helping a lot of leaders, if that's you, then the philosophy and how to do that is actually very straightforward. If we look at our clients who buy coaching, what they're looking for is very simple. They say, we want to have some real results, because the CEO or whoever is paying for the coaching engagement, they're thinking, I need to drive numbers. So that's either performance numbers on the product and loss statement or the balance sheet, or a number on the engagement survey. I want to be more productive, make more money, get more revenue, and or improve my engagement scores. So that's what the CEOs want. That's what the business leaders want. And if you as you then also talk to HR in the same process, they're thinking, well, you know, we want to hire a well-branded service, coaching service that we understand how that's going to be rolled out. So we want to have something that is clear, transparent, step-by-step, that creates results, and it has a successful brand. Because, you know, if we hire a successfully branded service as HR and it works, we look really good. And that's how it works. It's very simple. So if you're a coach and you want to be really successful, it's important to have a great coaching brand. Now, you need to make a choice. Do I want to make that brand myself as an individual, or do I want to affiliate myself with a brand like Marshall Goldsmith and kind of, as we say, wear that green t-shirt as you sell coaching to your clients? So that is one thing. And then the other thing, you have to have a transparent process that measures results based on what people around the leader are saying. So these are the three elements: brand, transparency of process, and measurable results that we even guarantee. These are the three key aspects.
Yeah, and I've had the good fortune to see all of those dynamics in action, and seeing very large organizations make decisions based upon everything that you just said. I've also seen organizations that that allow the leader who's going to be coached to make the decision of who they want as a coach. Sometimes that can come down to a personality play, like, oh, I feel comfortable with this person. But when I've seen organizations, when they said, hey, you know what, we want to know how we're going to be able to measure the results, we want to understand the process. A lot of times I've seen coaches that aren't really able to articulate what their process is, other than we will meet on a regular basis, we'll talk about what's going right and what's going wrong. Very little inclusion of stakeholders. But when you hit on those three items that you just talked to, I've seen the light bulbs just come on, and organizations just say, wow, this is exactly what we need. Can you talk about a couple success stories that you've seen? Let me make that specific. Let's talk about a success story in terms of the outcome to a person being coached, but also a success story in terms of a coach that was building their practice using the stakeholder-centered coaching process.
Yeah, so I'll come with two examples here. So before I kind of jump into the success story, let me make one clear statement here. Not all companies, well, let me put it a little different. Some companies say, hey, we just want to have a coach for that leader so that they kind of have somebody to bounce some stuff off of and have good conversations and kind of see themselves better and start doing different things in a better way. So some companies very deliberately say, hey, you know, we don't want to make this complicated. We just want to have somebody who talks to his executives and kind of help them to kind of switch on a few light bulbs or whatever they're trying to do. And that's fine, but that's not us, okay? So we have a very deliberate process to help people to measurably get better. So we're like a leadership fitness organization, which basically says, if you come to us, we guarantee that you build more leadership muscle and that you lose some of the leadership fat so that your body mass index as a leader is going to be optimized to what you're looking for. So we're in that fitness space, right? In that specific, this is about leadership muscle building to be more effective as a leader. That's the space we're in. We're not in any other space where there are also fitness centers where people feel enjoyed to just go there and hang around. Good. We're not judging here. We're just saying that that's the space we're working in.
I love that analogy, yeah. By the way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good. So here's a success case. This is not even an untypical one. I was working with the CEO of a fast-moving consumer goods company in Asia, and this was an American gentleman who was sent there by the regional headquarters and said, hey, you know, you need to turn this around. One of the big challenges in the organization there is accountability. People need to be more accountable for the results to drive. And we're working in a stagnating market, and our reputation to the customers, to the big retail stores is not great. That needs to be improved. So he basically was sent there to basically turn the organization around in terms of engagement, in terms of results, and at the same time make the leadership more effective. And that's really tough, right? So in terms of doing everything at the same time. So he basically got to work in a very focused manner. I was coaching him. I also did a few things with his executive team, but basically he took it out to the executive team and roped them in that whole stakeholder process. He focused on engaging people personally. He focused on helping people to achieve their results. And for 18 months, he has been working on that, and he was amazingly successful. And honestly speaking, when I started to work with him, I already felt like, yeah, this guy has it in him to do it. Yeah. Now, after 18 months, their bottom line performance had an enormous positive impact. I don't really want to share the numbers here, but they kind of more than doubled their profits, and it was already a pretty good profitable enterprise. They doubled their profits. They were the only one in the country who were improving their revenue. So all the other big FMCG guys, their revenue was either stagnating or down. They were the only one who were improving it. And in the ranking to the retail, they went from a very low number to number three within 18 months. And that is like revolutionary in the way that could happen. And he did it with most of the same people in place. He basically got everybody to roll up their sleeves and get to work, and everybody loved it. Now, that doesn't always happen without any pain, so to say. It's not like, you know, this is easy. So what we do is simple, but it's not easy. And that's the same as the fitness analogy. Now, but at the same time, people really enjoy it at the end of the race, that they can say, oh my goodness, what we did as a team, we totally surprised ourselves. That was amazing. All right, so this is just one example, but we have lots of examples like that.
Well, you know, and it's a great example. And I mean, you talk a lot about the impact on revenues and their market position. Mm. But I'm sure there were some, you know, I'm sure their retention goes up, the team becomes much more cohesive, and then that in itself becomes a self-perpetuating performance increaser, right? Yeah. So yeah. The impact, I mean, you see the impact in terms of the numbers, but then there's that, I would argue, sometimes almost even a bigger impact in terms of the strengthening and the development of the team. And if you don't have, I mean, it sounds like this guy got thrown into a really tough situation. Mm. And if he didn't have some type of framework and process to help him deal with it, it'd be very difficult.
Yeah. So on the engagement piece, I didn't mention those numbers, but he basically moved the engagement in the organization from 35% to 85% within those 18 months as well, which is also like unheard of with a company with thousands of people. And a lot of it has to do with, yeah, you need to have a very good plan for implementation and implement that plan. And FMCG companies are really good at implementing their plans generally. So that's not their challenge. And if you have more engaged people, then you basically get much more results for the same effort or the same money that you pay people, right? And that's great. So you attract better talent. Your best talent stays. Everybody has a good time, even though they're playing a very tough game, or people kind of need to kind of lay it on as they're playing the game. But people love it because people come there to perform and to grow it as an individual and to become a better professional and to become better team as they work as a team. It's like a sports. It's like sports in a way, right?
Absolutely. The team gets better together, right?
Yeah.
So what about an example of a coach or coaches that have built successful practices using the Marshall Goldsmith stakeholder-centered coaching process?
Yeah, so I get that question a lot. So, you know, once I'm certified, how can I build my coaching practice more effectively using Marshall's process and Marshall's brand? And I'll give you two stories. So one story is of a normal coach who goes out there as a sell, and one story is about a very young and maybe less experienced coach who can do that really very well. So again, here is an example, but it's not an atypical one. We have actually dozens of coaches where this happens. People get certified. You can go out there in the marketplace to clients and basically say, as Marshall Goldsmith Coaching, here is the client list that we work with globally. You're in the same industry or you're the same company. I can do the same what Marshall Goldsmith does. However, I am right here. I'm in China, or I'm in India, or I'm in Brazil, or I'm in the UK, or I'm in the United States, and I do exactly what Marshall does. But I know your industry, I know your cultural setting, and you know, I have experience in that level of working where you need coaches. And then through the brand trust, and people think, oh my goodness, that's really cool. If I can hire you, but you're much more locally cultured than Marshall is, right? Then I can get much more value for money hiring you than somebody else as a coach, because the brand of Marshall then gives the trust that you are qualified to have a discussion with. Now, and then the next thing, if the client sees that, hey, yes, I understand the process and I see that you deliver results and that these results are guaranteed, then for the client, it's a no-brainer. So we had one coach in particular, you know, he comes out of the certification process, he talks to a few clients, and within 4 weeks, I kid you not, this person comes back to us and says, hey, Will, I had this discussion with a few clients. I have $500,000 business already signed up for coaching within 4 weeks after the certification. And it's like, yeah, that blows their socks off, but that blows everybody's socks off. And we have quite a number of coaches who say, you know, I got certified, I talked to some of my current clients or a few new clients, and I got business immediately. So people increase their coaching rates immensely, because now you can go out there with a bigger brand, and people get their business easier because you are a trusted brand as you are in front of the client. That really helps.
That's pretty motivational right there. Yeah. Let me ask you, I mean, without giving away too much of the secret sauce, but there are some coaches that can go out and drum up $500,000 worth of business in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And there are other coaches that can't. And some coaches aren't really good at promoting themselves or mm-hmm. promoting the brand. Yeah. So talk a little bit more about, you know, what advice would you give if I'm here saying, hey, Will, I want to be the guy that goes out and drums up $500,000 worth of business. Mm. What do I need to do? Okay, I've got the brand now. I have the certification. I understand the process. What else do I need to do?
Yeah, so the next thing, and we help our coaches doing that as well. Because, and what I'm now going to say is for applies to anybody, whether they're a Marshall Goldsmith coach or not. You need the people who already know you, your clients who already know you, they already know you and they already trust you. So you can sell to them whatever you want to sell to them. If you can sell to them a service like Marshall Goldsmith, that of course is then a premium product. And they feel like, hey, that's great. Now all of a sudden I already know you, but now you have even another premium service to offer. That's fantastic. So that's a relatively easy sell. So the next thing, what coaches need to do or want to do, is to expand their client base. And that's really marketing, right? So for the marketing piece, we provide a lot of social media publication to our coaches. So all the LinkedIn publications, all the Twitter and all the Facebook publications, our coaches have access to that through their coach dashboard. So with 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes a week, they can basically repost a lot of content that we produce into their social media accounts and then get connected to more people in their network. We also have a program called the Coach Business Accelerator, which is a structured learning process for coaches about how do I accelerate my business as a coach. But the story is very straightforward. You need to put a lot of effort in the marketing piece. So that's a lot of through social media. Then you connect to new people as they approach you based on your social media expressions. And after that, you need to relate. So it's connect, relate, transact. So in the relate piece, you need to share some content with the potential clients, or these are maybe cases or other valuable articles or other things that we have in our library that a coach can share with clients. And as you do that, you then go into a conversation with the client, and then you need to proposition to the clients. Okay, so now we kind of start the pre-sales process. And also there, we provide all our coaches with the proposals. We also share with them the whole commercial systems and how we work. So all the things is available to them. And it makes it then very easy for people to market and to sell, because it's in their interest to build their coaching business. It's in our interest to help them build their coaching business. So everybody wins.
So that's some amazing advice, and it goes back to what you said before, where it's not necessarily easy, but it is relatively simple. I mean, the formula is there, but you've got to do the work. Yeah. And if you do the work, you know, good stuff will happen. Well, yeah. Hey, I really appreciate you taking the time here. Any closing comments or thoughts in terms of if, for people out there that are looking to become an executive coach, or those who are already a coach, want to grow their business, or just thoughts in general?
Yeah, let me end up with a little funny statement that Marshall many times says, because a lot of people ask Marshall, oh, I really would like to be as famous as a coach as you are, so what should I do? So Marshall says, well, you know, what you should do is very simple. Let me tell you the secret of how I have been doing that, and you can do that too. It's very simple. Make a few notes. Here it is. You write 40 books. You travel 12 million miles, and you do that for 40 years. That's how it works. Okay.
Come on, man. I want the shortcut, Will. Come on, man.
Well, but that's the thing, right? So the shortcut is, you know, you don't need to do what Marshall does and do that in a very laborious way, as Marshall just explained. But the other thing you can do is just get certified, become a Marshall coach, and then through brand affiliation, you can do the same thing. I mean, I became the number 15 coach in the world working with Marshall. We have grown seven times over the last 7 years, seven times bigger. We're by far the largest. We're like the Airbnb and the Uber in the coaching industry, right? So we kind of dominate that space. We still have a lot of things that we want to do to further expand, because our mission is to measurably change leadership effectiveness around the world. And not because it's a nice idea, but because the percentage of effective leaders around the world is not so high, and the engagement of employees is lowest of all time in history of the working world, right? So there is so much leadership and employee pain out there, and that's what we want to change. So that's our social mission. Now, if you don't want to write 40 books, travel 12 million miles and do that for 40 years, the other thing you can do is get Marshall Goldsmith certified and use all the tools that Marshall has to speed up that process, because I pretty much did a lot of that what Marshall did in 40 years, in 7 years, by just being closely affiliated with the whole process. It's not complicated, right? It's just a matter of understand what you need to do and then do what needs to be done. And we give people all the tools. So alternatively, people need to do it themselves. And we tell people, hey, you don't need to do this yourself. You can use Marshall's brand and Marshall systems to go out there and do that much quicker, much faster in your own environment. Because you didn't ask me that yet, Mark, but we also have all of Marshall's coaching systems available in 10 different languages, right? So if you're speaking Chinese or Arabic or any other, or Spanish or Portuguese or any other modern language, it's all out there for all coaches to use who are certified. So that's amazing, right?
So, I mean, yeah, why go out and try to reinvent the wheel? Why not take the wheel that is just the best wheel in the world right now for what it does and use that, right? And that's I think some great advice there. Hey, Will, your success has been totally inspiring for me, and the success of your organization.
Thank you.
I've been through the Marshall Goldsmith Stakeholder Center Coaching certification process. I've seen it in action, both from the coaching side, but seen the effect on the coachees. And it's a great program. I'm really proud of your success and to be your friend, man. And I wish you great success in 2019. I'm sure there's much more to come.
Thank you very much, Mark. It was a pleasure to be a guest and have this great conversation. And everybody who enjoyed this, thanks for listening. And I look forward to hear from you. Anytime, feel free to send me an email at coach@secoaching.com. And then any questions you have, we're happy to help. Thank you very much, Mark.
Welcome to Limitless, a parallel universe where limits do not exist. Join us as we talk with amazing people from around the world who are breaking through barriers and defining their own paths to success. Learn how these individuals have overcome the gravitational pull of internally and externally imposed limits in order to achieve their dreams. Join us and be limitless.
Limitless. Limitless.